There were, of course, any number of reasons to look forward to the end of the US presidency of Donald Trump. One of them was the idea that his permanent exile to the golf courses of Florida would break the fever which has, these last few years, consumed the party he led. It is not necessary to be one of life's natural Republican voters to acknowledge that a democracy should have a place for a serious, sensible conservative party, thoughtfully and diligently making the case for individual liberty, small government, robust national defense, and all the other stuff in which Republicans once purported to be interested before they signed on for Donald Trump's Yahoo crusade. Early in the post-Trump epoch, it looks discouragingly like the Republican Party may not find returning to our planet an altogether straightforward process. An internal civil war appears to be brewing. On one side, those Republicans who might, if we're being charitable, have regarded Trump's presidency as akin to a noisy and noxious wingding in the house next door, which appeared finally to be drawing to a close. On the other side, to extend the metaphor, those Republicans who turned up when the nightmare neighbors decided to call some of their really crazy friends to come over and kick things up a notch. At which point we must consider Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, elected last November by the people of Georgia's 14th District and currently the subject of an attempt by some congressional Democrats to punt her off the House committees to which she has been assigned.
Assigning her to the Education Committee when she has mocked the killing of little children at Sandy Hook Elementary School, when she has mocked the killing of teenagers in high school at the Marjory Stoneham Douglas High School, what could they be thinking, or is thinking too generous a word for what they might be doing?
At issue are certain of Ms. Green's opinions. These amount pretty much to a full house of conspiracy theory bingo. Barack Obama, a Muslim communist born in Kenya, Hillary Clinton running some sort of murder incorporated operation from a DC pizza parlor, George Soros secretly running the world, 9/11 either a hoax or an inside job.
It's odd, there's never any evidence shown for a plane in the Pentagon.
School shootings either a hoax or false flag operations to discredit guns. Owners, and so on and on and interminably on. To this roiling hogwash consommé, she has stirred in a couple of ingredients of her own, notably the startling hypothesis that recent California wildfires were, in fact, ignited by laser beams fired from space by the Rothschilds. None of which is especially interesting in itself, except perhaps as another demonstration of the truth that people who believe in one conspiracy theory tend to believe in all of them, and that if you unravel any such nonsense far enough, you locate a core of seething antisemitism eventually. What is interesting and concerning, and possibly for the Republican Party an existential crisis, is that Green is very far from alone.
Taylor Green's campaign released a message to the mob declaring, "Every smear strengthens my base of support. I will never back down. I will never give up."
Her views were not a secret to the near 230,000 Georgians who voted for her, and we must therefore conclude that they elected her because, not despite. Her subscription to at least some of the absurd mythology of the QAnon cult is shared, according to polls, by fully 24% of Republican voters, a figure that dropped from an even more alarming 38% after the Capitol Hill riot of January 6th. An event which, naturally, Green believes was a righteous protest against a stolen election.
If we flood the Capitol building, flood all the government buildings.
Unless she believes it was another false flag psyop stunt designed to undermine righteous protests against the stolen election. It's tough to keep up. And the more we learn about that event, the starker the choice facing Republicans appears. Tempting though it may be, it is not good enough to write January 6th off as a tantrum by a few hundred wretched dunderheads. They killed four of their own, murdered one police officer, and injured dozens more, many seriously. It seems clear enough that at least some of them stormed the Capitol with a plan, and quite possibly with an amount of assistance. Anybody who believes that they would suddenly have become reasonable had they got within reaching distance of the politicians certifying Donald Trump's election loss has unusual faith in the rationality of angry mobs. And it could still get a lot worse. Trump will shortly be tried by the Senate on impeachment charges pertaining to January 6th, which means that, once again, the Republican Party will have to declare itself. If, as seems likely, the GOP once again lets Trump off the hook, it can only further encourage the know-nothing dingbat tendency he both embodied and emboldened, and whose standard is now borne by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Some GOP grandees are attempting to distance themselves from Green. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has denounced what he called her loony lies. And fair enough, though it would have been nice to hear him say anything similar about Trump, or indeed about the fully 147 House and Senate Republicans who voted to indulge Trump's ludicrous fantasy of a rigged election. A more accurate assessment of the GOP's dilemma has been made in recent days by Senator and former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney, who said, "Our big tent is not large enough to accommodate both conservatives and kooks." In the immediately post-Trump Republican Party, however, it is far from clear which faction has the numbers. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.